Amen. Just before Catherine comes and reads for us, I just wanted to say my wee niece Georgia's really engaged with the Easter story. She's been sending me videos for the last few days all about the Easter story, and maybe one Sunday I'll get a chance to show one of her videos on the screen, but it's just been tremendous. And again, it lets you see that, you know, the young folks are interested. I've been speaking at the schools, as you know, over this period. I was in speaking at the nursery class in Ardler. Just in the nursery, and the nursery teacher brought the young folks in small groups, and tremendous engagement, you know, nursery age children really engaging with the Easter story. And then I got a beautiful story from Faye, when I was visiting Faye the other day to do a aftercare funeral visit, and she said that her wee nephew Kai is in the nursery, and he was really impacted. He came home and he was talking all about me being in. So just be encouraged, really be encouraged that that God's doing a work all over this area.
Our reading this morning is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, and beginning at the first verse. Early on the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him and went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped round Jesus' head. The cloth was still lying in its place, separate from the linen. Finally, the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned toward him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Catherine. Let us again join our hearts together in prayer. Lord Jesus, you are alive. Death could not hold you. The grave could not keep you. And this morning we stand in the joy of that empty tomb. Holy Spirit, we invite you now to take over. As your word is opened and preached, we ask that you would take these words and write them into every single heart in this sanctuary today. Lord, would you speak to the searching? Would you comfort the hurting? Would you strengthen the weary? And would you surprise us all with what you would want to say this morning? In the risen name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to start this sermon, this reflection this morning, by reading something that was written about someone very special. And I want to see if you can guess who it is that we're talking about here. It's a recap of a man's story. And this man's story goes like this. He is history's greatest personality. He stands at the very center of human history. His existence changed everything, even the calendar. He was born to a virgin, lived a sinless life, and performed miracles that drew massive crowds wherever he went. He was crucified on a Roman cross. 3 days after his burial, he rose from the dead, was seen by at least 500 different people, and ascended into heaven. He declared himself to be God. He was both fully human and fully God. He said that he could forgive sins, and that anyone could enjoy eternal life if they followed him and accepted the gift of his sacrifice on the cross made on our behalf. So have you worked out who it is I'm talking about? Who is it? Georgia? Jesus. Well done. Fantastic. Jesus. And it is wonderful to be here this morning, isn't it? On Easter Sunday. And you know, I'm always honoured to be able to preach on this day. I'm honoured to preach on it any day, but especially this day, as we come together to celebrate that Jesus is alive. And you know, what an honour it is for me to preach on this Easter Sunday morning here, which is my first Sunday as the minister here at Craig Hill Church. And what a blessing that is. And because Jesus is alive, we are all here together today. Because of Jesus' story, we are now part of each other's story here together this morning. The resurrection of Christ is what we are celebrating this morning. And that's what our whole faith is based on. And because Jesus was raised from the dead, then Christianity is true. It's as simple as that. Because Jesus was raised from the dead, then Christianity is true. And if Jesus did not rise from the dead, then there is no Christian faith at all. The Apostle Paul actually says that in his first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 15. It says, "And if Christ had not been raised, then our preaching is in vain and your faith is in vain." This morning, this day, is the whole reason for life. For us as followers of Christ, this is what it's all about. Jesus rising from the dead. And you know, for me it's so special, as I would not be standing here today if I had not been presented with the evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. You know, I would have loved to have the faith to believe without all the evidence, but I really struggled to believe that Jesus was the Son of God. Not everyone's like that, I know that, and I'm so blessed to be surrounded by so many people who have a strong faith, and they've had that faith from a very young age, for as long as they can remember. There's Alba coming down. And you know, I love to hear their story of faith as well. I've always known that God loved them. Did not mean that life was always a straight road. Far from it, we know that. If you grow up in the church, if you've always known and always believed, it certainly does not mean that life is a straight road. Life's a journey. That's Marian's story. Always believed, always known. But for me, it just was not my story. As a very young person with very limited church experience, I was told by people that Christianity was true, but not really why it was true. So I was told that it was true, but not why it was true. And then, as an adult, through a series of very wrong and difficult choices on my own part, I was encouraged to seek a relationship with God through Jesus. But you know, I needed to know if this was true. Was Jesus really the Son of God? Were the Christians around me fools and believing blindly in something there was no evidence for? You know, I speak about that a lot. When I first went back along to the house church that I was kind of connected to when I was younger. In 2008, when I was trying to sort my life out, I didn't go there to find faith. I went there because I knew there was better people in there and I wanted to live the life that they were living. I did not want to live the life that I was living. But it was something in those people that I knew that they had something I didn't have. And I think I've said before, at first I just thought they were good liars because I thought there's no way they can believe this because I did not believe it, right? I wanted to. But you know, the more I spent time with these people, the more I realised they actually believed, and I could see it in them. I could see it in the way that I could see it in their eyes. I could see the way they lived. Definitely not that they live in perfect life, because we're all flawed. We speak about that. But I just knew that they had something that I didn't have. And then I went on a journey to find out what it was that they had that I didn't have. So my journey, my story of trying to find out if it was all true began then. And you know what a story that has been. A journey that I'm still on to this day. Life is a journey. The Christian life is a journey. A journey with many ups and downs. We know that, don't we? And a journey that today has led me to be standing here and sharing in our worship this morning with you all. And you know, the evidence for me clearly pointed to Jesus rising from the dead. I'll never forget the night that sunk in, that hit me. I was reading two books. I've spoken about these books before. The first book I read was Frank Turek's book, and it's called I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. I Don't Have Enough Faith to Be an Atheist. He takes you through all the evidence, DNA, evidence for creation, loads of evidence for God. And the conclusion that he comes to at the end is, if you still think we're here by chance, pure chance, then that needs much more faith than to believe in a creator. The other book I read was Jai Warner Wallace, called Cold Case Christianity. I speak about that a lot. He was an FBI detective, solved a lot of cold cases in America. And at 35, his wife had come to faith, and he wanted to prove her wrong by investigating the Gospels as a cold case. And he came to faith that way, and now he writes a lot of good stuff. He does a lot of good resources for young people. It's called God's Crime Scene, and he takes young people through the evidence as well. But you know, our faith, the Christian faith, what we have is based on one single event in history, and that is the event that we are here today celebrating this morning, the resurrection. You know, Christianity, more than any other religion or worldview, we have the chance to say, here is how you can know that this is true. So what we believe, it's actually the opposite from having a blind faith. And I think that sometimes something that non-believers can struggle to understand. At previous churches, when I've preached on Easter Sunday, I've went through a lot of the evidence for the risen Christ. There is a lot of it, but that is not my intention to do that this morning. Today we come to celebrate and to rejoice in the greatest story ever told. Whether we are young today, whether you're old, a bit older, or you're young at heart, or you feel young, something very special about Easter Sunday morning. What a day this is. And as we've heard this morning, reading that Catherine read for us from chapter 20 of John's Gospel, the events of that first Easter morning, they were nothing short of miraculous. Mary Magdalene, a devoted follower of Jesus, she went to the tomb while it was still dark. It says in verse 1, early on the first day of the week, while it was dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. Can you imagine how Mary must have felt in that moment? She's got to the place where her beloved teacher and friend has been laid to rest. But when Mary arrived at the tomb, she found the stone rolled away and the tomb was empty. I wonder what emotions Mary would have been feeling then. Confusion, fear, worry, amazement. So she ran to tell Peter and the other disciple, and then they hurried to see for themselves. The tomb was indeed empty, as Mary had said. We read that in verse 2. It says, so she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, they have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they have put him. Now let's stop there for a wee moment, a wee bit, and just try to put ourselves in Mary's shoes. I wonder, have you ever experienced a time when you felt scared of unsure what to do. I probably feel that every single day in my life, scared and unsure what to do. Maybe you've faced a big challenge for the young folks at school or at home or at work, or you've maybe had to say goodbye to someone that you love so much. Maybe you've walked into a church for the first time. I love that about some of the young folks who have been coming along, coming into a church, an environment that you've not grew up in, an environment that you know nothing about. It takes a lot to come in through them doors and be here every week, so well done. We did a course before around mission and how we try and get folks into the church. And you know, we take a lot for granted in the church because we're used to this environment. Somebody said it's like us, a lot of us, getting asked to get into a bookies and put a line on in the bookies. Just go and do that and see how that feels. That's what it feels like for folks coming through these doors who are not churched and they're not used to these environments. So we're really blessed, whether you're a young person, whether you're an adult coming here and you're not used to this environment, we are so blessed that it takes a lot to come through those doors, you know. But it's okay to feel those feelings of fear, to feel those feelings of worry, because Mary felt like that on the very first Easter morning. But you know, here's the amazing part of the story. Even in the middle of her fear and confusion, Mary saw something incredible. She saw two angels sitting where Jesus' body had been, and then she then turned and she saw Jesus himself. At first she didn't recognize him. So verses 11 and 12 say, "Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head and the other at the foot." It goes on, verses 13 to 15, they say, "They asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying?' 'They have taken my Lord away,' she said, 'and I don't know where they have put him.' At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize it was Jesus. He asked her, 'Woman, why are you crying? Who is it you are looking for?' Thinking he was the gardener, she said, 'Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him.'" So here, Mary thought Jesus was the gardener. Of course she thought he was the gardener. He had died. He had been buried. She had witnessed it. There was no way in the world that Mary thought this was Jesus standing next to her. But then Jesus spoke her name, verse 16, "Mary," and everything changed. Mary. In that moment, Mary knew that Jesus was alive. She was filled with joy. She ran to tell the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," she said. We read that there in verse 18. Now let's think about what this story means for us today. Just like Mary, every single one of us face challenges and struggles in life. But you know, the message of Easter, is that no matter how dark things may seem or how dark things get, there is always hope. Always hope. Jesus conquered death so that we could have new life in him. When we put our trust in him and what he has achieved for us on the cross, we can have hope through all circumstances. For the young people here today, Easter is a reminder that Jesus loves every single one of you more than you could ever imagine. He is always with you, even when things are tough, and he promises to never, ever leave you alone. You are precious. You're so special in his eyes, and please remember that. Please remember just how precious and special you are in the eyes of Jesus. And for the adults here today, Easter calls us to reflect on the amazing truth of God's love and his grace. It's a reminder that no matter what mistakes we have made, and my goodness, do we make a lot of them, no matter what mistakes we have made or how far we have wandered from what we know is right, God is always there to welcome us back with open arms. Sophie's Prodigal Son painting, which is on our Easter garden, it pictures that so well. Jesus is always there to welcome us back with open arms. Through Jesus' resurrection, we are offered forgiveness, redemption, freedom. and the promise of eternal life. But you know, this isn't just something to think about. It's something that we have to receive. Jesus didn't only rise from the dead in history. He offers us new life right here, today, and every single day. He died for our sins. He rose again. And he calls us to turn, trust him, and follow him. And anyone, no matter who we are or what we have done, can come to him and be forgiven, and we can know him personally. This is the good news of Easter. The risen Jesus is alive, and he is calling our name. Now, a wee challenge for us. I'd like to invite everyone here today to think of a time that you have experienced the hope and the peace that new life that Easter brings in your own life. It could be a wee moment of joy. It could be a time of healing. Or just a time when you felt God's presence in a very special way. Or one story like I talk about a lot, but God, you have not got through it. A situation that was horrendous in your own life, but you're here and you're standing. Because if God was not with you, you would have not got through it. So what I want you to do is, this might be uncomfortable for some folks, just turn to the person next to you, if you feel comfortable doing this, and share that wee story with them. We'll just take 5 minutes to do that, okay? So I'll repeat what I've said there. Think of a time when you've experienced hope or new life in your own life, a moment of joy, a time of healing, or a time when you felt God's presence in a very special way, or a story, as I say, a difficult story that you're comfortable sharing that you would have not got through on your own. So if you're comfortable, just please turn to somebody and have a wee chat with that. We'll just take a few minutes to do that. Well, she's desperate up. You can let her up if you want. That was great. I heard a lot of good conversation there, so it's good to get folks sharing. Would anyone feel comfortable coming up and just sharing for 30 seconds, a minute, of what you were speaking about? You don't have to, only if you feel comfortable. Would anyone like to come and share? Don't all rush your hands up at the one time, please. Anyone? You don't have to. Georgia, do you want to come tell your story? Okay, come on. There you are. A difficult time, Georgia. Are you going to tell me your difficult story?
When I hanged a decoration up on a Christmas tree.
Right, and what made it difficult hanging a decoration up on the Christmas tree, Georgia?
Because it was too high.
It was too high. And how did you get it up?
Standing on my stool.
Standing on your stool. There you go. Well, Georgia, thank you so much. We've got a round of applause for Georgia. That was a difficult time, Georgia, but thank you so much for sharing that with us. Anyone else? This is a final opportunity to come up and share. Oh, yes, Louise, thank you. Yep.
Here, is that better? Right, can you hear me now? In my first year of teaching, I went into teaching in my 40s, there was a head teacher who was a bully, and she picked on somebody each year. And unfortunately, I was the one picked on in my first year of teaching. And it was really pretty grim. And I only got through it by coming here every Sunday evening and people praying with me. So I just remember that and give thanks.
Thanks, Louise. Thank you. Absolutely. Thank you, Louise. And we all have stories like that, don't we? Every one of us can tell of one story. And like I say a lot, and you've heard me saying a lot, and I say it every Sunday if I get a chance, nowhere in the Bible does it say we're kept from any trouble or affliction, far from it. But it does promise us many times that we are not alone through it. And we know that. I have my own mum with me today, or she's surprised us coming here. But we know as a family, you know, with the loss that, you know, my dad dying suddenly 3 years ago on Christmas Day, my brother sadly dying suddenly in November, that he was 46. We know the pain and the loss that people experience when they go through life. But my mum would be the first to tell you, it's the folks that get round you at those times, isn't it, Mum? You know, it's the people that God is putting around you in those very difficult times. We would not get through those times on our own. We know that. We wouldn't get through a single day on our own. And that's what we're promised. We're not alone. God is with us, and God is going to surround us with the right people. And that's why it's so important to be part of a church family. So important to be part of a church family, that we can love each other, we can share each other's burdens, we can pray for each other, we can get around each other at difficult times, and we can share hopefully what's going on in our life so that we can get support that way. And we are part of a very special church family here at Craig Isle, and we experienced that after my brother's sudden death, just how folks were able to get around us. So thank you. And thank you for doing that. I know that sometimes makes people a wee bit uncomfortable when they do the wee discussion part, but you all done very well. There's some great discussion going on there. Thank you so much. This morning, may the story of Jesus' resurrection, please let it remind us today that no matter what challenges we face, we're never alone. We're never, ever alone. God is with us. He's guiding us. He's helping us. Loving us, he's leading us into a future filled with such hope and promise. So may the joy of Easter fill all of our hearts this day and all the days of our lives. God bless you all. Amen. Well, let us now pray a wee short prayer together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of Easter and the hope it brings to our hearts. And as we reflect on your great sacrifice for us, may we carry the light of your love with us wherever we go. Lord, fill us with joy, with peace, with love, with courage, and fill us, would you fill us with a renewed sense of purpose as we live out our faith in the world. In the resurrected name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We'll now sing together, Praise the Name. And as we sing this next worship song, we will also worship God with our offering.